Welcome to Dad's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
Welcome to That's Wild. It's the podcast where we explore all the amazing wonders of our natural world. I'm your host, Susan Altrui, and I am joined by the ever wonderful co-host extraordinaire, Joy Matlock. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're here for another episode.
We are. Hi, everybody. I'm Joy Matlock. So glad that you're joining us again today.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Joy, what is our topic at large?
At large. Well, here's a hint. Mm-hmm. What's the largest lizard in the world, Susan?
Oh, that's way too easy. That's way too easy.
Okay, wait. Mm-hmm. You can also see this largest lizard in the world without leaving Arkansas.
Okay. You know, I think I know what this is.
Okay, what do you think?
This has got to be the Komodo dragon.
Bingo.
Got to be the Komodo dragons. We're about to have Komodos at the Little Rock Zoo.
We are.
I cannot wait.
We're excited.
It's our newest exhibit, newest species, and I'm so excited to talk about Komodos today here on That's
Wild. It'll
be
our first time to have Komodos.
That's
correct,
right? Yes, our very first time.
So today we're talking about all these incredible reptiles,
yes,
which we're excited about because there'll be a new exhibit at the zoo, and we have already a whole bunch of different reptiles we'll be able to talk about.
That's right. We're going to be also talking about other types of dragons, if you will, that you can come and visit at our zoo, and how we're also helping to protect some of our very own dragons, which are a lizard species, the eastern collared lizard.
I'm excited.
So that's going to be a great conversation topic as well.
So shall we get started?
Oh, absolutely. I think we should. Lizards, reptiles, dragons. The names do kind of get mixed up sometimes, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a simple breakdown. All lizards are reptiles, but not all reptiles are lizards. Let that just sink in for a minute.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those names can be confusing.
Yep. So reptiles actually include a rather big group of animals, so snakes, turtles, crocodiles. But lizards are part of that group, but they're a specific kind of reptile with scaly skin, long bodies, and four legs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the name dragons? Mm. They aren't called Komodo lizards or reptiles. So how does that come in?
So there's an interesting history there about the Komodo dragon. So Komodo dragon was popularized actually in 1927.
Okay.
And that was by the book Dragon Lizards of Komodo. So the name Komodo dragon is a name given by Western explorers of the Komodo Islands in Indonesia, of Indonesia. But the locals that have a name for this lizard, it's actually Aura. Is actual what the locals call this lizard. So really Komodo is kind of what we call this dragon, but Aura is what the locals would call this species.
Okay.
Yeah. And it means land crocodile, which I think is interesting.
That is interesting.
But it's not a crocodile.
But
they call it, it means land crocodile, which if you think about how big this lizard is, it kind of makes sense, right?
Right. Well, I'm sure they probably looked like dragons to those first explorers who hadn't seen them before.
Sure.
But they're, like you just said, they're not crocodiles.
That's right.
They're actually very big lizards.
They are not crocodiles. They are a cousin who can also swim very well, which I think is fascinating. Even to neighboring islands when food is scarce, they can get as big as a crocodile, though.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So the largest one on record is 10.5 feet long.
Wow.
Weighing almost 366 pounds, which is huge.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine rolling up on that?
No, I cannot. I can absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big lizard.
It is.
Big.
It is.
Big, big, big.
So I guess we can say that all lizards and dragons are reptiles, but not vice versa.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So let's talk about what makes Komodo dragons so legendary other than their names.
Sure. So they are massive, as you've already talked about, and very powerful. Komodos have strong claws and very sharp teeth.
Yes.
Although their bite is weak, which is kind of an interesting thing.
I've always thought that was fascinating about them, that they have such a weak bite. Yeah.
Their bite is weak compared to crocodiles.
Right.
They might not breathe fire, but their bite is venomous. And the toxins in it keep blood from clotting. So they rely on blood loss to make their kill, you know, for their prey to die.
I never knew that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess they bite and then become patient. Yeah,
right.
Patient
right.
To let them die out. So.
Oh, okay. And so that very sharp claws and teeth and venomous bite, that's what keeps the blood from clotting, mm-hmm. apparently. So mm-hmm. that's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. Okay. So that sounds about as close to a real dragon as you can get, I suppose.
I can imagine.
And I guess that's why we call them that.
And while we are on the topic of dragons, the Komodo is not the only one that you can meet at the Little Rock Zoo.
That's right.
We also have Iris and Circe, who are our two sailfish dragons. And little known fact, or maybe not little known if you are a Greek mythology person or a world history person, Iris is named after a goddess, goddess of chaos.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
We love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Circe is named after, well, she's the goddess of magic.
Oh.
And she also had another little trick that, I guess, party trick. She could turn men into pigs.
Oh, I love that. Look, that might actually be an upgrade for some men. So I don't know. That's fantastic. Wow, that's a reason to go and visit the zoo right there, is to see Iris and Circe, the two goddesses of the reptile house.
Right. We'll have to ask our keepers why they chose those two names. I'm sure there's a story.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a story there.
Behind that. But they're in our reptile house here at the Little Rock Zoo,
yep.
And they have a really cool sail-like crests on their back, so that's what they get their name from.
Oh,
so.
Very cool, mm-hmm. very cool. You know, one of my favorite reptiles that we have at the zoo is actually Steve. He's one of our ambassador animals.
I don't know if you love him more than I do,
though. Oh, I don't know, Joy. We might have to fight over Steve. He's a little smaller than a Komodo, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a lot smaller. But he does play a big role in our education department, mm-hmm. helping our families and kids learn all about reptiles.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah.
That's great. So, love Steve.
Yes,
so
had the bearded dragon.
To Steve.
Love the bearded dragon,
yes,
Steve.
Our celebration of National Appreciated Dragon Day earlier this year was a fun way to spotlight all the dragons that we have and all these different types of animals
yes.
in the ecosystem.
Yes, definitely.
And we're happy to have them, and we should really be thankful because these animals do things like control pests, they help to spread seeds for germination and vegetation, and they even help recycle nutrients back into the environment. So
yes.
not only are they, you know, fun and fascinating and some might even say cute, but they actually do things for our environment that we depend on.
That's right. It's mm-hmm. it's a whole circle of life and very, very important, and that's why it's very important that we have every key species, mm-hmm. and the protection of every key species is important, very, very important for our world. Whether they're big or small or somewhere in between, the dragons are more than just cool to look at. They play an important role in nature. Mm-hmm. All of our key dragons of the world. So these animals are fascinating. Many of them face serious challenges in the wild.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Komodo dragons are endangered. Mm-hmm. Their numbers are shrinking because of the things that we talk about a lot on this show. Habitat loss, poaching, climate change, all those things affect their habitat, affect how they live every day, how they get food, how they're able to survive in their environments. And that's why zoos like the Little Rock Zoo play such an important role, not just in protecting them, but helping people understand exactly what's at stake.
Yes. You know, it's something that I'm really proud of that the Little Rock Zoo is doing right now, and that's our work with the Eastern Collared Lizard. And that's what we're doing to really contribute back to our local environment here mm-hmm. in Arkansas is the work with the Eastern Collared Lizard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've really thought that partnership that we have with the different institutions that we're working with and saving species is so important. And the work that we're doing to hatch those little bitty lizards that then grow up and that we can then re-release back into the Ozark Glades, that's hugely important, hugely important. And we have our own little native dragon.
We do.
Own little native dragon.
Yeah, it's
so,
a little known lizard known for its bright mm-hmm. green and yellow colors and its ability to run on its back two legs, which is pretty impressive to see the Eastern Collared Lizard, like you said.
Yep, and we partner across Arkansas to breed and release these lizards back into the wild, and it's part of restoring the glade ecosystem that these lizards depend on.
Mm-hmm. So when you visit mm-hmm. the zoo, our zoo, you're not just seeing animals, you're supporting real conservation efforts, not only locally, but worldwide as well.
And that's wild.
Isn't it?
That's wild, Joy. That's wild.
That is wild.
And of course, one of our favorite parts of That's Wild is when we get to bring in someone from our zoo team with a little bit of a behind-the-scenes insight into the animals. We love that, don't we?
Yes, we do. So we're excited to have Hannah back again to join us.
Yes.
Another one of our animal ambassadors.
Yes, so we're going to welcome to the show Hannah. Hannah, welcome back to the show. So you've got a wonderful animal ambassador friend here with us today. Tell us a little bit more about our friend.
I brought the lady magnet.
Steve.
I know you guys
love Steve.
I love Steve.
He heard y'all back there. He's like, okay, here we go again. So this is Steve. He's a bearded dragon. Mm-hmm. He is native to Australia. So can you think of a late great Steve that we might have named him after?
Mr. Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin inspired a lot of us in the zoo field and a lot of people. Yes. So we thought it was very appropriate for him. We had another female bearded dragon named Sheila, which is a term for girls in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, they're native to Australia. He is not fire breathing, obviously. He's a lot more chill than that. But do you guys see all these spikes that he has on his body?
Yep.
So he's kind of intimidating looking if you didn't know him as the chill guy he is. They get their name bearded dragon because when they're threatened, they can puff up their beard.
Yep.
So it makes them look a lot bigger and scarier. Mm-hmm. And then these spikes all over his body are also part of his threat display. Hmm. They are omnivores. I'm sure you guys know what that means.
They eat everything.
Cool. So he'll eat plants. He loves bugs. Crickets are his personal favorite. But otherwise, they're pretty docile, and they're often kept as pets, which is something we could also talk about.
Yeah, talk to us about that. Yeah.
What is
so
it like to have a pet?
They are awesome, but we tell people, always do your research before you get a pet. So some people don't realize how long they can live. They think they're really cute when they're small. They're a couple-year commitment. They can live at least 10 years, if not more.
Wow.
We actually had one of our producers say one lived almost 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So they're a commitment.
Okay.
So something to think about. They've also got a lot of diet requirements, vitamin requirements. So even though physically they're pretty easy to handle, they're pretty chill, they can be a little complicated to take care of. So something to do your research before you get a pet.
Definitely. We always recommend that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love Steve.
So he is an ambassador, like you said. He's a lot more laid back than it would be if I brought a Komodo out here. So even though it would be way more exciting, we use him to talk about all lizards. So he's got a couple of things I can point out that are specific to lizards that are really interesting.
Okay.
I don't know if you can see these little holes on the side of his head?
Yep.
Lizards have ear holes. So snakes don't have ear holes that you can see. That's one of the big differences. And actually, he did that right on cue. See him close his eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Lizards have eyelids. Snakes do not.
Okay.
So you'll never see a snake. You'll never win a staring contest with a snake, is what we say.
That's good.
Legs is not as obvious as you would think, because there are legless lizards, and we actually have one at the zoo.
Oh.
So
interesting.
It's a European legless lizard, or a Sheltopusik. He looks like a snake. He has no legs, but he does blink, and he does have ear holes. So
interesting.
That's what makes him a
lizard. Okay, very, very interesting.
What do kids usually say when they meet Steve for the first time, or what's maybe the most interesting comment you've had?
Well, so what's fun, we've gotten several comments about, I didn't know dragons were real. And we're like, this is so precious. Which is really sweet.
That's precious.
Yeah, so he inspires a lot of excitement and interest. So that's why he's such a great ambassador. And as you can see, he's completely relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
We choose our ambassadors based on how they act in public. We're not going to make anybody do something they don't want to do. If he was stressed, he wouldn't have to be here. This is all about him at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So he couldn't be more comfortable. That's why he's such a great ambassador.
So if he wasn't comfortable, I'm just curious, what would he be displaying? The beard and what
good
else?
Question.
Would he be puffed up?
Yeah, we train all our handlers to recognize signs of stress. So some of the things you might see are his beard puff up. They do a head bob, gesturing that might happen if he was trying to get away, trying to run off.
Yeah.
Another thing they can do is change colors.
Oh, he really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
A little bit. So not like you think with like an octopus or a chameleon.
Okay.
We say they're kind of like mood rings. So he can darken or lighten up depending on his mood and other environmental factors. So the temperature is a big one.
Dang.
But if you were to get really angry, that beard not only sticks out, but it turns black. Pretty cool.
That's wild.
I love that.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Very cool. Very, very cool.
So switching gears a little bit.
Yeah.
So I know that he is fascinating in his own right, and we love him. But he's a little bit different from a Komodo dragon. So mm-hmm. tell us about mm-hmm. getting them at the Little Rock Zoo, and tell us what you're excited about.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm so excited. I have a platform to talk about Komodo dragons. I met your friend the other week, and I was like, let me tell you about alligators. So thank you for letting me talk about Komodos. As far as I know, these are not only the first Komodo dragons in the zoo, but in Arkansas, right?
Yes, on display. I think that's right.
So I think that's a really big
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, that is.
We have two at the zoo right now. So one is on exhibit and one's still in quarantine. That's a whole process we have to go to when they first come in just to make sure that everybody stays healthy. So Iroh is our male. He was named after the Dragon of the West in Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Very cool. Okay.
He is about a year and a half old. So he is not—he's not very big, but he's got a lot of.
He's
growing.
He's growing though. Yeah,
he's growing very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's actually impressive how much he has grown.
Yeah,
it's
growing
interesting,
a lot.
But he is so cute.
He is very personable. He's a really good Komodo. I can't believe he was our first because he seems to really like people.
Mm.
He seems to be really interactive. Mm-hmm. So he's been a really fun first Komodo. The female is Tiamat, or Tia for short.
Tia.
She came to us from Bronx Zoo, and she's about 3.5 years old. She was named after, I know I seem pretty cool, but I'm actually not that cool. She was named after Dungeons and Dragons, which is a game I really like to play.
But that's cool.
It's
that's
also cool. It's also a goddess, so if you sense a theme here.
Okay. Love it.
We got
love
our
that.
Dragon girls.
Yeah. Love
it.
Goddesses. Love
yeah,
it. Yeah, love that. That's
I've actually
great.
Met Tia in the behind-the-scenes quarantine. The assistant director of the zoo took me back there, and she was not bothered by us. She just kind of...
That's the thing about Komodo. So they are top predators.
They don't have to be bothered by anybody.
They're, they're not bothered by anyone. Iroh, the male, tends to be a little goofier and more personable, like I said. But Tia so far, not that she's aggressive, but she's just not as... She's more of a dragon. She's more of a Komodo, she seems. I don't think she was worked with as much as we work with Iroh because we talked about using him as an ambassador.
Wow.
She's more of a like a display animal. Regardless, she's beautiful.
Yes.
She's amazing.
Absolutely she is.
She's target trained. They're a lot smarter than people think.
Okay.
Do you know what target training is or why we
For
yep.
people
do
who
it?
Do not
We
want
do,
to
but
explain.
Explain it. Explain yes. it to everybody else.
Yeah. Okay, so she has this little blue buoy. It's a target on the end of a stick that she's trained to walk over and touch, and then she gets food. Mm-hmm. The reason is so that we can move her, because when she's a full-grown Komodo, we can't pick her up and move her around.
Heavy, a little heavy.
Yes.
So if we need to weigh her or do any sort of medical check, she'll be target trained so that she can move to different locations so we can
Perfect.
Do all
That's
those
awesome.
Things.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's good. I love
That's some good work.
Yeah. You guys touched on the fact that they're endangered.
Yes.
It's a big deal that I definitely want to talk about.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
Yeah, they are native to the Indonesian islands. There's I think there's about 5 islands, Flores Island, Komodo Island.
Yep.
The majority of the wild population lives on Komodo National Park, where they're very protected, mm-hmm. so that's the good thing.
As they should be.
Yes.
Yep.
Some of the other islands, they aren't quite as protected just because they're not on a national park.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their biggest threats are climate change, you've mentioned.
Yes.
In fact, specifically, because they live on islands, the rising sea levels mm-hmm. are going to be a big deal mm-hmm. for habitat loss, depending on how much that happens.
Yep.
And then they're competing with hunters for food sometimes.
Oh, didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So those are just a couple of problems that they do face. There are only a few thousand left in the wild, mm-hmm. so it's really important to get the message out about them.
I have a question. So you were talking about the food and competing with other hunters. We said Steve was an omnivore. Are Komodos omnivores?
Good question. They are carnivores. They are strictly carnivores.
Strictly carnivores. Okay.
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 So they will eat things, this might blow your mind, they will eat things like water buffalo.
What?
Deer. So
what?
They can take down...
They will take down a water
buffalo?
They can take down a big prey item.
Wow.
And by themselves or with a group?
By themselves.
Wow.
So like
That's
you,
wild.
Yeah.
That is.
Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there used to be that myth that they had all this bacteria in their drool that's been debunked. They don't have any more bacteria than any other carnivore. Not saying their mouth is clean, but it's no worse than anything else. So they do have venom glands in their lower jaw.
Mm-hmm.
And you were exactly right. It creates blood loss because they don't have the biting power that other reptiles have. And you've probably also noticed in a lot of photos that they have all that drool.
Yes.
Do you know why that is? Or do you have any guesses?
I don't.
It's not just to look cool and tough.
Is it keep their mouths moisturized?
I mean, you're close.
Okay.
So they're tearing off big chunks of food, so it's lubricant. So they can swallow down big chunks of meat.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. They're
beautiful. Okay.
Mm,
I mean,
yummy.
Now you know what it's for. It doesn't just look good.
It has
delicious.
A purpose.
Okay.
That's funny.
Next time I eat a bite of steak, I'll remember that.
Yeah, just start drooling a little bit.
Yeah.
Komodo friend. Well, how exciting for the Little Rock Zoo to have dragons like Steve, and we talked about Circe and Eris earlier, and then of course our Komodos that are coming.
To yes, and how great that we're going to be able to have Komodos to talk more about conservation of that really important species.
Yeah, I've got to shout out the reptile team. They're taking Absolutely. On a lot by yes. gaining this new animal. We're yeah. all learning together what we need to do. We've got some experience, obviously, with mm-hmm. taking care of the species yeah. and other zoos, but mm-hmm. it'll be a big undertaking for us, but we are super excited.
Yeah, that's great.
We are too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, and Steve, we'll see you later.
He killed it. Look at it.
All the time. All
Always.
The time.
He's a superstar.
He is.
Thanks, Anna.
Yeah.
Well, Joy, that was awesome to get to meet Steve. I really enjoyed hearing everything we had to learn about Steve, because he is one of our favorites.
I am the president of the Steve fan club, if you didn't know that.
Not surprised
I
by that.
I love mm-hmm. him.
Yes, that was great. I love it when Hannah comes on and talks all about conservation mm-hmm. and talks about the animal and all the special things. So that's always such a treat.
And it yes. drives home the message that we can do things in our own lives that mm-hmm. help them protect these animals and to learn from them.
Yes, absolutely.
And hopefully yes. people are remembering that every time they visit a zoo or our zoo in mm-hmm. particular, it helps support conservation work, whether it's local mm-hmm. or global. And we could also help protect Arkansas native species, like yes. I talked about, the eastern collared yep. lizard mm-hmm. and any other endangered animals around the world.
That's absolutely right. So whether you're visiting Steve or getting to meet Steve, right. one of the animal ambassadors, or coming mm-hmm. to see Eris or Circe in the Reptile House, or coming to our brand new Komodo Dragon exhibit, which yes. is opening soon. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to get to learn more about conservation of species and getting to learn more about how you can save them in the wild.
Absolutely.
Wonderful opportunities like Absolutely. That. So we'd love that. And you get to check it out in person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the great That's thing about treat. Coming to the zoo.
Right. And, you know, yeah. and no matter who you are, where you are, and if you don't get a chance to travel, or if you do get a chance to travel, you can visit different parts of the world in one afternoon at our zoo.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I just want to say, we have a little milestone to celebrate,
we
Joy.
We do.
We have a little milestone to celebrate. It's our 10th episode!
Yay!
Party!
Congratulations to us.
Congratulations to
and
us.
And to our
it's
the producers.
The 10th episode yes. of yes. That's Wild. Yep. It's very, very exciting, so we have to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good times.
That's right. And we could not have made it this far without you, the listener and the viewer. So we appreciate all of that wonderful support, our wonderful zoo team, our producers, mm-hmm. and everyone who has gotten us to this point. So it's just fantastic to have such a great team.
There's a lot of
us.
Hard work yes. behind these episodes,
yes.
and we appreciate
a lot of
who
hard work
it.
Behind yep. that.
So thanks for joining us on this episode of Glow.
You almost said Glow Wild.
I almost did.
We're glowing. That's why.
We're glowing. That's why.
That's wild. So we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.